The Football Show on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
I'm prepared to do anything I can
well,
to
do it then.
Country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
All right, welcome along to Thursday's football show. A little bit later than usual, but John Giles is alongside me in studio. How are you?
Fine, Nathan. Sort of.
After the week that was. So we sat here last Thursday night, and I think one of the last things you said was that you used to get slagged off for your line about taking each game on its merits.
Yeah.
When you look at these two games, the 0-0 in Georgia and the 2-0 defeat on Tuesday night against Switzerland, and you take those games as they developed, was 1 point from those two games as much as was achievable, or did you look at those two teams and think actually they were there to be got at if Ireland had performed better?
Well, I don't think Georgia were very good. So, like Mick was saying afterwards, well, if you told me we'd take 4 points at the start and that. And, I mean, all managers will always put the best side on it. And I can understand that from Mick saying it. But at the end of this qualifying stages, and I said after the match against Georgia, it's either a point gained or it's 2 points lost. But I go back to taking the game on its merits, because you don't know where you're going to get points. Nobody knows where you're going to get points. But to take it when it comes, you know, if it's there for the taking, take it. Don't have a thing in your head, if we get a point here, if we get 3 points there, whatever it might be. Because one match doesn't relate to the second match you play doesn't relate to the first match you play, apart from picking the team and that. So when you go into a situation, and I always found playing myself that a point won was a great point if you deserve to lose. If you deserve to win, and I told you before, when I played at Leeds, Don was a bit cautious. We were playing in European matches or in league matches, where he would actually say a point here would be a great result. And in my experience playing, I played in matches, a lot of matches where we should have won, but we didn't. You know, because it's in your head. The point is a great result before you go out. So I know all managers have to put a good side to it. Like against Georgia, he's not going to say, we should have got the 3 points. He'll say, well, that's a point gained. And if somebody had told me at the start of the season we'd get 4 points, we'd have taken it. Well, the fact, that's before you start. But when you look at Georgia, you know, and you look at, see how poor they actually were, you'd be looking for 6 points.
The one question with that then is that, and I totally understand where you're coming from, but were Georgia not a better team than Ireland last Saturday?
No.
Did Georgia not control the ball better, have more of the ball, technically better?
Well, you could say they were 5% better than us, Nathan. Mm. You know what I mean? But again, you can't go on, well, were they a top class? Well, how badly did we play? You know, like you're going to make any team look better if you don't play well yourself. And your first, the first priority is how are we going to play? You know, we played terrible. And for us playing terrible, they looked a better team for periods of the game. But if you look at the way they played, there were no great shakes at all, Nathan. It's just that we played so badly.
So why were Ireland so poor?
Well, we lost we gave the ball away. You know, I thought defensively in most of the match we played, I think the back five, Doherty came in, were very solid, very good, didn't give them much at all. But if you look at the middle of the field, you know, we've nothing. Well, we had players that you'd expect more from. Who did we have in the middle
Power
of the field?
Howard and Hendrick and Whelan Saturday.
Well, Hurren didn't play. Hendrick was out of it totally. I mean, to be fair, Dan Whelan was our best player.
Well, that's probably, not trying to offend Glenn Whelan, probably the most damning aspect of these two games, that he's the midfielder who's come out with the most credit because of effort and just a wanted team to do something.
You know, he played well. He played well, no better than well, but it shows you how poor we were when Glenn Whelan, who was 35, an experienced player, was the best midfield player we had. Now, and don't mean to be disrespectful to him, because he played quite well in the matches and he's always give everything that he's had. But when you got younger players that are coming into the team, should be actually providing more for the team than Glenn Whelan has.
Are they just Hendrick and Howerhan, are they just poor individual performances? Or, considering the midfield seems to have been an issue pretty much throughout the campaign, is there a problem with the way the team has been set up, that that midfield three can't work together, can't control possession, can't actually dominate a bit of possession from time to time?
I don't think there's ever a setup that stops them from playing well, Nathan. You know, there was nothing, like when you get the ball on the football pitch, no matter who's playing with you or against you, or particularly with you, or what system you're playing in, you use the ball. You know, you don't give the ball away because you're playing on the right-hand side of midfield and that's not your best position. It's a game of football where you go and play. But, like, we just had the ball and gave it away time after time after time without being under any pressure whatsoever. So it's not the formation in it, it's the actual players themselves. You know, I've played with players, played it myself when I'm playing on the right wing, which wasn't my natural position. But it doesn't mean you can't play okay. Mm. Or if somebody's playing on the left side, as normally players in the middle, you get on the ball. And actually, when you get on the ball on the right side of midfield, it's just part of the pitch where you use the ball as well as you can in that position. But we didn't do that. Like, we gave the ball away on the left-hand side time after time, on the right-hand side time after time. And if you don't do that, then the players that you're supposed to supply are not going to have anything, you know?
And the constantly giving away the ball, and again, it's been this consistent issue for a number of years now. Do you look at the passes they're giving away as, like, technically there were poor passes, they didn't pick out the right ball at the right time, or is it that there's maybe a lack of bravery from other players that they're not coming looking for the ball, that actually when a midfielder, Conor Hourihan, gets it 10 yards inside the opposition half, there's nobody within 30 yards of him. There's nobody demanding, give it to me, here's the easy ball.
I agree with that, Nathan, but that doesn't mean he has to give it away. You know, because you can hold it. You can, you know, the worst comes to first, I found as a midfield player, first thing you do is you look up, can you put somebody through? And say, as you're saying, there's nobody running through and there's nobody to give it to. But you can stop it. You know, you can give it back to the fullback. You don't give it away just because there's nobody making a position for the ball. You can still hold on the ball. And what you'll find with football, I found from playing, say, in the middle of the field, you get at the ball and there's nothing on. But if you hold it long enough, then it gives players opportunities to get into a different position where you can give it to them. That's what good midfield players do. In other words, just you don't look up and say, there's nothing on, give it away. You look up, you say, nothing on, I'll hold it, I'll dribble across, I'll go this way, I'll give it to the fullback and have it back again. And then next time I get in the semi, hopefully there will be somebody making. Now, I get the point you're making, that there was nobody getting in position to receive it anyway, you know? But there's still no need to give it away in that position.
Are our expectations too high of what this team should be able to do? Like, is this a good team? When you look 1-11, is it a good team?
Well, it's the best we have, right? And what Mick was saying actually last week, well, I don't know what all actually said, I don't know what the criticism is back in Ireland. You know, we're top of the league. You know,
the way it worked out.
The thing is, though, and I've always said it over the years, there are very few great teams out there. You know, you look at Switzerland playing, they're probably the best team in the group. Are they a great team? Not by any. Georgia?
Yeah.
No.
And that's always really frustrating when I was listening to some of the post-match interviews and, like, Glenn Whelan go, probably gave them too much respect in the first 45 minutes. We seem to hear that after every single game, we gave them too much respect. Yeah,
there's always a lot of talk in football, Nathan, about comments like, and again, I'm not going on to Whelan because he's a player. And you see, when you get a player interviewed up and the manager, they're not going to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? They're going to say something like that. Mick will say, well, if somebody told me we'd take 4 points from Georgia, we'd have taken that. It doesn't matter what anybody said at the start of the season. It's what you do on the pitch in every individual match. And the fact is, against Georgia and Switzerland, which is the latest two matches that we're really talking about now, we haven't played well. But before the two matches, we were top of the table, Nathan. So it's telling you there's no great teams out there. You know, if we play, all you can do with any team, the manager and Mick McCarthy's playing, are the players playing as well as they can play, right? And certainly for the two matches that we've seen, the players haven't played as well. If you're not going to play as well as you can play, then it's very, very difficult to win matches.
And does that come back on the manager?
No. Some of it would come back on the manager if he hasn't encouraged them to play. But Mick's record over the years has been, he has encouraged players to play. I didn't agree with him leaving Donnelly
Connolly on the bench against Georgia.
Yes, I think he should have played in that match because it's not as if we had great players on the bench. Mm. You know, and looking at him, and it's only one match, but you can tell something in one match when he played against Spurs last week. He's actually a good player. And, you know, he had Collins in. Like, Collins had his best, to be fair to that, wouldn't be anywhere near what we've seen of Connolly, and he got 17 minutes. Then the second match, he's here, there, and he's everywhere in the match. So I think it definitely Connolly should have played in the first match.
Do you think...
I'm not saying that would have made a huge...
It's a surprise, I guess, in that Georgia, on paper, even though it's over to Eastern Europe and, listen, it's a big game for Aaron Connolly, technically you would think Georgia was an easier game for him to start than against Switzerland.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. It was a more difficult game against Spurs. Mm. I mean, where we see players, Nate, mostly is in league football. And usually, and I think Mick said something about it last week, if he's doing well in the Premiership, which is a good league, then he's going to be good enough for international football. And especially as the lad showed his temperament. See, the temperament comes into it an awful lot, and I don't believe in the age thing. And you can see this lad against Spurs wasn't scared of the thing. He'd want to get out there and play. I think we spoke a bit about this last week. So there'll be nothing wrong with his temperament. But if it was Aguero was our centre-forward, you'd say, well, I wouldn't put Connolly in there. But we don't have an Aguero. I mean, Collins is what we have, and he's a good lad, and he has a go and everything else. But you'd have to say, watching Connolly playing, he's by far a better player than Collins. So we're not leaving anybody on the bench that really should be on the pitch, because we're struggling for people up front. So I think it should have been nailed on that he would play against Georgia.
He played the 17 minutes and he had two chances. The second of the chances deep into injury time was one where maybe the pitch just... and the ball got away from him. But it's now 6 goals for the Republic of Ireland in their 7 games so far. And like Mick McCarthy, after the game last night, spoke about Aaron Connolly's performance, saying he had no supply, he didn't have any real service. We know that there's probably never going to be another Robbie Keane. There'll probably never be another Irish striker who'll score 68 international goals. Mm. How do you counter that then? Like, does Mick McCarthy need to somehow find a system that creates chances?
There isn't a man in the world that can create a system, Nathan, to create chances. You have good players, and you give them the freedom to. That's what football. You can't, like, any player in the world, the top class players, Nathan, like, say you take Messi, for example. Nobody can tell Messi what to do when he goes on the pitch. Mm. What makes him a great player is he knows what to do in any given circumstance, right? He'll hold the ball, he'll come this way, he'll come that way. That's what makes the great players. They can make something out of nothing, right? And you couldn't coach Messi. You know, you couldn't say to Messi, when you get the ball there, I want you to do this or that. He does it naturally because that's what makes him such a great player. So all you can do is, like, you can definitely have a balance to the team. In other words, you pick your best player on the right side in the middle and that. And then after that, Nathan, really, what you do is, man, you let them play. You can't tell them. You can't say, when you get on the ball, I want you to look there, because that's not on. That's what makes good players, is the choice of pass. First of all, the control, getting the ball in a position to control it. The next thing is using it. But you can't tell a player how to use it. You know, you can't say, when you get that ball in that position and Connolly's up there, I want you to...
Can you not bridge that gap if you're dealing with players who aren't of the calibre of Messi, who aren't great players, who maybe aren't even very good players, by drilling it into them on the training ground of this is the game plan?
No, it doesn't happen like that. Now, when you do something on the training pitch, right, it's contrived. Because you're telling them, when you get the ball there, I want you to give it there. OK? Now, when you're playing in a match... Right, it happens so quickly, Nathan, that you can't say, oh, this is the position I'm in training, so therefore I'll do A, B, C. You have to, that's how your head comes.
Did you not, when you were training, have had a lot of repetition, a lot of moves that you would have tried to practice that you would have replicated in a match?
No, none. None. Now, I've heard of people doing it, and I don't believe in it, because I know when you receive the ball in a match, Nathan, right, you don't, that's where you receive the ball. You don't know whether the outside left is still in the position that he was in when you were practicing during the week. Because he could be at one stage making a run down the right wing. So you have to, this is what makes the great players. They make the decisions up in the position that they're in, and they hit the most dangerous ball in the positions that they're in. You can't say before the match, now, when you get the ball there, you do that. It doesn't happen that way. Or if you get somebody who you have to say that to, he's not going to play well. They're all natural players that can see the position they're in, and you learn as you get older and from coming in as a young player, that I was in this position before, and this happened, so therefore I'll do what needs to be done. But you can't tell. You can't go on the practice ground. I've heard it years ago. Actually, I took part in a cup time where they had moves with no opposition. I don't know if you ever heard that.
So just out in the training ground by yourself, set up?
No. They had the team out.
Right.
Right, and the right half got it. And then right, you played into the inside left and that. Now, I thought it was a joke because I was thinking, where's the big centre-half coming up to give you a kick up the bum? You know what I mean? Like, you can do that all day, but when you're playing football, you have to do it in the spur of the moment. Mm. You have to control the ball and say, well, that's it. And as a player, you learn, oh, the last time I was in this position, this is what I had to do. But you can't practice it on a Friday. I mean, what you can do on a Friday and during the week is actually you can teach defenders a lot. When the ball's on the other side of the field, I want you in the cover position, because that's going to happen. And that's without the ball, right? But if you're talking about players in the middle of the field or creative players, you just can't tell them. You can teach them positional sense, come back a little bit. But when they get the ball, when any player gets the ball on the pitch, you cannot give them set rules of this is what you do. You could say to a call man, anytime you get the ball, I want you to get on your right foot and bang it up the middle, right? But he could be banging it up the middle when it's time to pull it inside and go. Only he can do that. And what makes Coleman such a good player is that he makes the right decisions the vast majority of the time.
If you can't work that on the training ground, then where does the improvement come from?
It comes from the players.
We've seen these players consistently throughout this campaign struggle to score goals, struggle to create chances. Mm. How's it going to change against Denmark or heading into a playoff?
Well, I think they can play better than they have done. Right, like we the last two matches we played in, Nathan, like, and yeah, had Hendrick and one of Kurt and that. I mean, they just gave the ball away from nothing. You can't tell them how to do that. They should be able to do that. In other words, the players that we have should have played better than they did, because they gave the ball away so easily. Sometimes they weren't under pressure. In other words, they played badly, and they should be playing better than that. Like, even if you get a top class player, one of the best players in the world, he still has to play well. Mm. And one of the reasons he's one of the best, because he's making the right decisions, right? But there's days when they don't play well. Very seldom, but it does happen. With our midfield players, it's happening more to play poorly than it is to play well. But they have played better in the previous matches, Nathan, than we did against Georgia particularly.
Mm. We need to take a quick break. I want to talk about Tuesday night's game against Switzerland and the changes to formation and Seamus Coleman's red card as well, and maybe how Ireland can go about beating Denmark and getting that automatic qualification place. It is Thursday night's football show. John Giles in studio. We'll take a quick break.
The ads start now. Paddy Power sponsors the Off the Ball football show. That bit where it comes back from the ads is brought to you, unsurprisingly, by Paddy Power.
All right, you're welcome back to Thursday night's football show. We're joined in studio by John Giles. A little bit more time at this time of the night, too. And there's plenty to talk about, I think it's fair to say. Yeah. So the game against Switzerland...
Not as positive as we wanted, yeah.
Mick McCarthy did make changes. He went with three at the back. The surprise was that when you look at where Ireland's players are playing, there's not many teams in the Premier League playing three at the back, but two of the teams that do are Wolves and Sheffield United, and two of their most important wing-backs are Matt Doherty and Enda Stevens. He didn't pick one of them, and he played Enda Stevens as part of a back three. What do you think he was trying to do? And is it not the easy thing just to put Doherty and Stevens as those wing-backs?
Well, first of all, I was surprised at that, Nathan, because, like, we didn't have any problems at the back. The goalkeeper's been good.
Yeah.
The back five were actually excellent.
Two goals conceded
against Georgia.
Six,
you know, in all the matches that we played. So, actually, I was surprised that he made a change. Mm. And I think he was trying to compensate for lack of what we had in midfield by pushing the players forward. And I definitely wouldn't agree with that. I think as what we knew about the defence was good. Leave him there. And hopefully, with the players that were playing, it will play better than they had played. You know what I mean? But because you're moving those players, it's a bit of a drastic move. In other words, lads in midfield didn't play, so therefore I'm going to disrupt what did play well. You know, and he didn't last for long, actually, did he?
No, less than half an hour.
You know, like it. But that's Mick was well told him a bit desperate here. The lads that played in Hendrick and Hulham and played the other day and they didn't do it. Maybe if I do this, it might compensate for that. But what you gain one way, you're losing another way. And in fact, I don't think we gained very much from it anyway. So I think you're better saying, right, the back five are good. That's what we do. And just hopefully the players that we have in the midfield will play better than they did. And they are capable of playing better than they did. There's no doubt about that. But we want them to play well straight away. And they shouldn't be playing as poorly as they did in the two matches. But they definitely can play better than they played in the two matches.
What did you make of Seamus Coleman's performance?
Well, Seamus Coleman's performance is always good. I think he's
even on Tuesday night?
No, well the reason not so well, because I think what happens with Seamus is with him being captain, I think he takes too much on himself, Nathan. I mean, the main thing contribution you make as captain is to play well yourself. And I think with Seamus, I think he knows we're not playing well, and he was getting the ball in full back positions a few times. And in my opinion, he was trying to do what the midfield players weren't doing. Right, it's not right, but I can understand where he's coming from. He's such a good lad that he thinks I've got to get it going because I'm the captain, and as captain, as I said before, all he's got to do is play well himself, do the right things. But I can understand where he's coming from because he's such a good lad. He's so willing to do well that he would take something on himself in the right back position that actually is a minus instead of a plus. But doing it for the right reasons.
He obviously ended up getting sent off. And
yeah, but he's been unlucky in that one.
With the handball, but there was the skirmish with Granit Xhaka, and it's been similar enough at Everton. He's been very much, he's now the Everton captain as well, getting in referees' faces, just seems quite angry quite a lot of the time at the moment. And interesting, over the last 24, 48 hours, listening to some players who played with him and would know him and saying it's quite unlike him, that there seems to be some sort of a frustration.
It would be frustrating because he knows they're not playing well.
You think it's that they're not playing well, not that maybe his form isn't where he'd want it to be.
No, he wouldn't be as good at his form because the other's not playing well. In other words, he's taking too much on himself. Like he thinks, I've got to do it. I've got to get in there. I've got to do some of the things that the other lads are not doing. Whereas as a captain, he should be concentrating, first of all, I've got to do it properly. And secondly, he's not the first one to get into a row with Xhaka. He was booked again, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I thought Coleman was unlucky because it was the penalty incident and that's the way it goes. He was doing his best to block it. But I think, yeah, like, when you're in the situation you're in, you have to try and understand all the players' personalities. I don't know, because I'm not close enough to them. I've seen Seamus Coleman over the years, and you know he's as honest as the day is long, and he's going to do the best for the team. And I think when he's captain and the team is not doing well, he takes it upon himself to try and make up for what they're doing, which makes him not play as well as he should be playing. But it's not a question that he's hiding and he's going to do a play for himself and that. It's the opposite. You know, I think you should just concentrate a little bit more on that.
Does someone almost then need to take him aside? Because you talk about, like, his character. The one thing everyone who talks about Seamus Coleman is what a brilliant character he is in the dressing room. And, like, when he talks about the pride of pulling on the green jersey, he really means it. He does. I've seen from talking to him, he does take the criticism of the side very personally because he's the captain of this side. That, like, he's wearing his heart in his sleeve too much when he's out in the pitch.
I think that's if it's a it's a good problem, but it's still a problem. And I think, first of all, you know, when you're managing the team, I'm only talking from a distance. I don't know the lad at all, but that's the way I see it, in his personality and the way that he plays. He's a terrific player, but I think the manager is responsible for that. When he got out on the pitch, I said, look, Seamus, don't just do your own job first. And then, because I often heard of lads like, oh, he's an inspiration as a captain.
Yeah.
And look at him playing, and I'm only talking about somebody now that's not there, that he's doing pointing here and pointing there, but he's not doing his own job. The only way you be an inspiration on the pitch is do your own job first and then help others. But you have to do your own job. And I go and repeat myself now with Seamus. Seamus does his own job, and he's fallen down a little bit because he's trying to do other people's jobs for them, or he's not happy with what they're doing and he's trying to make up from the right back position. No, you're not going to control a game in the right back position. You're going to only do your job, stop them playing and use the ball and give it to people who are going to dictate in the game. I think in Seamus's case, he's such a decent lad and a team player. He thinks he's not doing enough by doing what he's doing. And then it becomes a fault.
Does that then feed down to the other players as well, that maybe that's his attitude, that he's clearly not happy with what's happening around him?
No, why do it feel to the other players? It's because he's losing the ball. That's not what the other players think that he's doing. Some of them mightn't even notice that this is why he's doing it. But if he's not using the ball, like a few times in the match last night, he was in very difficult positions and he was trying to be creative to get out, and he lost the ball himself.
Yeah,
that's what the other players would see. You know, I'm only trying to get into his head.
Yeah, I guess the other thing from maybe in his head is that he's out there, he's looking around, things aren't going well, haven't been going well for a while. Maybe sees that, like, and again, we're singling out players, like, but Jeff Hendrick, who is playing week in, week out in the Premier League, back in the Burnley side again, and who has generally been a big disappointment since Euro 2016. Mm-hmm. He's looking at players like that going, I need to somehow create some sort of a spark for you.
Well, I think that's what he is trying to do. In other words, I'm going to try to do more than I should be doing as a right back, which becomes a fault. Because all he can do as fullbacks is do the right thing. And the right thing sometimes is get your boot behind or play it out. Like watching him last night, it seemed to be he wanted to create from the right back position, which was to turn the ball inside. A couple of times lost it. Becomes a fault. Right? So that's his personality. That's like the personality that he has. Can become a fault in that particular situation, right? Just as some of the other players who are not looking for the ball, it is a huge fault because he's trying to do too much. And some of the other players are trying to do too little, or certainly succeeding in doing too little. So you have to know all the players. I don't know them at all. Now, I'm only talking from a distance, but that's the way I see Seamus Coleman playing. I'd have no doubt about his honesty and his effort and his will for the team. And all I'm saying is that if the team's not playing well, I think he takes, as captain particularly, taking too much on himself to try and inspire them. And the best way to inspire them, or the first way to inspire them, is do your own job.
The back three, and maybe it's done now and we're never going to see it again under Mick McCarthy, and there's probably every likelihood, but could Seamus Coleman have played in that back three? Could you play Matt Doherty on the right-hand side, and with Seamus Coleman, maybe into his 30s, maybe losing a little bit of pace after the injury? Like, could you prolong his career by playing him on the right side of the back three?
I don't think he's lost his pace, Nathan, to be honest. But I think Seamus Coleman is one of the best right-backs in the world. So why would you take Seamus Coleman out of that particular position to put him into a back four, where the lads in the back four are okay? Duffy and Egan, I think have been terrific. Yeah. I think the back five in the team generally have been terrific. That's why we've lost so few goals. So you're not going to help the situation by taking one of the best fullbacks in the world and putting him into a centre back position. What we're not doing is from the back five out not playing well. That's the problem. It's not the back five, and you can't turn them into midfield players or compensate for midfield players. The midfield players either do it or they don't do it. You know, they have to do it. They have to do it themselves. And the fullbacks in the back have to do their job, which is stop the goals, which they've done extremely well. So what you have to do is get the midfield players or midfield players to play like they should be playing in the middle of the field. Like, they played particularly badly, Nathan. It's not as if they had to be brilliant. They just had to be adequate. And we would have matched any of these teams. I mean, okay, Switzerland may be the best team in it, but they're not a world-class team by any means. And I think we made it easy for them in the way that we played particularly. I mean, if you're not going to play well in midfield, it's very, very difficult to create anything, Nathan. That's what they fought. The centre forwards, wingers depend on midfield players opening up the play to get it to them in good positions. And that hasn't happened.
Have you seen anybody around the squad, and there haven't been a lot of friendly games to even for Mick McCarthy to get to see the other midfield options, and he put Alan Brown in last night. He's used Alan Judge on a couple of occasions. Jack Byrne didn't actually make the 23 when it came to it, so it wasn't an option off the bench. Are there other players there that you think actually could make a difference in midfield?
And you don't even know if you've seen them. You know, I think we have a friendly match against New Zealand
just before.
Well,
yeah.
I'd put a couple of the lads in there. I'd put Byrne in. What was the other lad too who played in the previous match?
Alan Brown or Alan Judge?
Judge played. It was Curran.
No, I'm not sure which.
Small lad, looked a useful player, but you don't know till you see.
Josh Cullen.
Yeah. Like if I was Mick, I'd put at least one of them, two of them at the most, in the next friendly match.
So So totally different to Bulgaria, which I know you said. So that's 4 days ahead of Denmark. You'd go out with, what, eight of the team that's going to play Denmark against New Zealand?
Yes.
And put in three that can put some pressure on?
Yes. Yeah, because you don't want to put too many in. Because if you make too many changes, then you're not really seeing what the lads can do with the players that would be in the team.
Yeah.
I'd never put more than three players in to see what they can do then, because they're the players they're going to be playing with, you know, in the big match. But we've seen Bourne playing before, and we see these lads playing before. So, like, and if the lads who are in the team are not doing it, then you've got to look and see, would they do better than them?
Mick McCarthy's obviously sort of been rolling through the week saying that, listen, we'd love to be in a position where if we win one of our last two games to qualify, we would have taken that at the start of the group. Now we're in a position that's, well, if we knew at the start of the group we'd have to win our last game at home, we would have taken it.
Yeah, well, that's manager talk, and yeah. I understand that. If I was manager, I'd be saying the same myself, Nathan. But what you've got to do is to the start of the campaign, right, as a manager, right, to say, and people, you know, used to take the mickey out of me when I was on the television, take each game on its merit. Don't be saying we get 2 points here and we get a point there, or we take 4 points against Georgia. Right? Take it as it comes, but play each match one by one. You can only play one match at a time anyway, and get the best possible results you can in those particular games, instead of looking at the table, you know. Mm.
Like, a draw isn't good enough, obviously, now against Denmark. Have you seen enough during this campaign that Ireland can beat Denmark?
I think we're capable of doing it if we play as well as we can. It's all about, can you do it? You have to play well to do it. I think we're capable, definitely, of playing better than we played in the last two matches, and we've seen with Denmark. You know, Denmark are not world beaters by any means. I mean, Switzerland beat them the other day. They've got some very good players. Don't get me wrong. But they're not world beaters. They're not a team that we say, well, it's impossible for us to beat them.
Yeah.
But we'd have to play. You know, everything is on paper. When we play Denmark, everything is on paper. We have to go out on the pitch and do it. And the last two matches, it was on paper, but we didn't go out on the pitch and do it.
Yeah, the games, the nil-nil draws.
Mick is right in certain ways. If we beat Denmark, we can still do it. Right? And Mick has had some criticism last week. I criticised him for not playing Connolly in that. But if we do beat Denmark, he'd be a hero. Mick would be a hero. He'd say, see what happened all along. You gave him stick against, criticised against the two teams. And now we've qualified, which is the main thing. That's the game.
Yeah, it is. And it does feel as though there's, and maybe this is the cycle, and you've covered the team for so long, you're probably well aware of what the cycle is, that like there's just a general frustration. Almost people are fed up with that this is Irish football, that we don't keep the ball in midfield, that we don't seem to have technical players that almost every other country has, and we don't play an attractive style of football. And then they're watching the under-21 side under Stephen Kenny, who are coming through, and he's transformed very quickly, who played Italy last week, scoreless draw, more than a match for the Italians in terms of how they kept possession. Could another manager do more with this group of players?
Well, it's impossible. It's impossible to know. But what is encouraging is that Stephen is in charge of the under-21s, which appears, I don't know much about them at all, that we do have players coming through. You know what I mean? That the players that are playing the under-21s are looking as if they're going to be real players. Now, this is the first group of players we've had like that for a long time.
But it almost feels as well, though, watching the 21s, that I don't want to say the players are irrelevant, because obviously there are some gifted players there, but it's more his philosophy that actually, regardless of the players, he has the philosophy that even though it's Italy, we're going to go and do the right thing.
We don't know that. We don't know that. It could be the players as well, and it's usually a combination. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no miracle workers in it, but I haven't seen the under-21s. But from what I can gather, there's a lot of good players there. And of course, Stephen would contribute to the success of that team. But he's not a miracle worker here. He's not going to take over a group of poor players and turn them into great players. What a lot of top managers do, they turn whatever they have into something better, right? I think Mick has turned our team into something better, right? But is it good enough to be qualifying in the way that he can only go with what he has?
You think it is better than where Ireland were a year ago under?
I do. I do. I mean, the last campaign we had was a disaster.
Yeah,
total disaster. And I think there has been an improvement in that, and with the possibility of still being able to qualify. Like, if we do beat Denmark, Mick is going to be a hero, quite rightly, too. So if Stephen is doing his job at the under 20, from what I can gather, there are a lot of players. Obviously, Stephen's doing a good job, but there's a lot of good players there that he can work on. Hopefully for us, that in the future, then they will come into the first team.
Mick's obviously been managing at a championship level for the last few years, so he's well aware of working with sort of the calibre of player that are in around the Ireland squad. I do wonder if he's still struggling, though, to deal with the lack of talent maybe that's there, considering what he had at his disposal the last time he was in charge, where he had the superstars like Duff and Robbie Keane and Roy Keane, and every other player, Kilbane, Breen, Holland, were all playing good Premier League football week in, week out. That for him, he's struggling to adapt to not having those players who can do things by themselves.
But to be honest now, Nathan, I think most of Mick's career has been like that. I mean, when has Mick been involved at club level with a top team? I mean, he took Wolves up one time, they had a battle when he got sacked. I mean, I think what he did at Ipswich for 5 or 6 years has been unbelievably good. Because as soon as he left him, you saw what happened to him when he left him last year. In other words, like a lot of clubs say, well, we should be doing better than we're doing, right? And, you know, we'll make a change of manager. And next thing, what Mick was doing was seen then when he wasn't there as doing a brilliant job. So Mick hasn't been in charge of top-class players at club level. Actually, he's had to do at club level what he's trying to do with the Irish team now. But what we can do, all we can do is keep our fingers crossed that we do. You know, players come in at different times. Like you say about Robbie Keane and Duff and all that. They all came around the same time. Like, we weren't pulling up any trees before they came along. You know, that happens in football. If you look at Brazil, they don't produce
unbelievable players every
World
year.
Cup winners every year. Like last World Cup, they didn't even qualify. Didn't go any farther.
Yeah, they were poor, yeah.
You know what I mean? So if that's Brazil, who've got whatever it is, 100 million people, we've got four and a half million people. So we're going to suffer more than anybody else when it does come to the time when we're not producing the top players. We've less chance. So hopefully with the under-21s, from what I can hear, I haven't seen them, is that there's a lot of promise there. And obviously Stephen can make better use of them. But at the moment, we have to concentrate on what we can do against them. That's Mick's job. And Mick doesn't have star qualities. Connolly is the best that's come along in recent times. And hopefully he will produce the goods when we play Denmark.
Mick wasn't panicking over Aaron Connolly's performance on Tuesday night. He gave the example of Kevin Kilbane in Iceland on his debut, been taken off after 45 minutes and gone on to play 110 times, that there'll be plenty more chances. Do you think that Connolly starts against Denmark?
He has to start against Denmark. I was disappointed, actually, that he didn't start against Georgia. I mean, it's not as if we have a top player on the bench. I mean, even if he didn't play well against Georgia, you know, you from what we've seen of him, he's going to play as well as anybody that else is going that was going to come in with a good chance, a very good chance of playing better.
Yeah.
Like, he obviously is a good player, and we don't have anybody like him. So that's why I was surprised at Mick at not playing him. But that was Mick's decision.
All right, that is Ireland done. Just to wrap up, we're going to be at Old Trafford on Sunday. Live commentary of Manchester United against Liverpool in the Premier League. We'll chat about that properly next week. United, obviously, in absolute crisis before the international break, and Liverpool have won every game so far. Do you see any way United can muster together some sort of spirit resistance in a game of this magnitude Liverpool?
Not really. No. Who knows on the day? But see, De Gea's injured now, isn't he? Well, that's not going to do them any good. But I think it's very difficult in football to suddenly, as I say, turn it on. You know, you're either playing or you're not playing. And that's one thing, a great thing about football, sports generally. If there's problems, it manifests itself on the pitch. And United have had big problems and the results have suffered. I can't see them, unless Liverpool have one of those days where nobody's playing well. But I couldn't see anything but Liverpool being too good for Manchester United.
All right, John, great stuff.
Thanks,
Nathan.
We'll
talk to you at the normal time next Thursday night. It is the Football Show. 53106 is the text number. We'll take a quick break.
Perfect pass. jump like your eyes. Rat, tap, 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 tap,